We are keeping an eye on the stock market today. There was another big drop over coronavirus fears. At one point, down over 700 points. The outbreak is also raising a lot of questions about how the law and public health intersect. A Chinese man who tested positive for COVID-19 was charged today in Singapore along with his wife. They're accused of giving false information to the government about where they'd been traveling and who they might have exposed. Also, two people in Hong Kong were charged last week for violating a quarantine. These legal issues are likely to spread as more cases are confirmed around the globe, including here in the United States. Scott Burris is director of the Center for Public Health Law Research at Temple University's Beasley School of Law, and he joins us now. Scott, welcome.
Hi.
And there have been hundreds of Americans now who were exposed to coronavirus abroad, who have been put under mandatory quarantine at military bases in California and in Texas. But how broad are the government's powers to force people into a quarantine like that?
Well, I think we can keep it simple and say that the government can use quarantine as long as there's a reasonable basis to believe it will do some good.
So very broad powers, you're saying.
Well, the problem with quarantine is it's essentially phase one of the response to a disease like this. Once you have community spread and you have hundreds or thousands of people you don't know about, as we're starting to see in the U.S., we're seeing in Italy and other places like that, quarantine doesn't work. You're just grabbing a few people that you know about and trying to control them, and pretty soon you don't have the resources to do that properly, and meanwhile the disease is spreading anyway. So as the president of Singapore said a few days ago, the challenge for governments now is to move from trying to stop the spread through grabbing a few people and start to move towards dealing with an epidemic that's going to spread to a big chunk of the population and figure out how you reduce that rate as much as possible, as much as reasonably possible, and how you deal with the sick people.
And just a few nuts and bolts questions here. What government agency actually determines whether or not it's going to force people into a quarantine?
Well, in America, public health is primarily centered at the state and local level. CDC has authority at the border, and the CDC has authority to try and stop interstate transit. Once the outbreak is bad, quarantine has no point. It's not going to do any good. What you're going to see instead is self-isolation on a fairly large scale. Mm-hmm. You know, you're already going to see this in other countries, schools shutting down, businesses shutting down, conferences being canceled. And then you have a whole other set of problems. For example, what happens when you're shutting down your cafes and your restaurants and, you know, your schools and institutions that employ people who work from paycheck to paycheck?
Right.
You know, after 2 weeks and they haven't got a paycheck, how are they going to eat?
What recourse would they have?
Well, at the moment, they have no recourse. That's something that government should be focusing on now and companies should be focusing on. We ought to see our big, you know, corporations and gig economy type operations promising that they'll pay sick leave voluntarily to people who have to stop working because of this virus. We should see the government talking about emergency unemployment benefits. And, you know, potentially we're going to have to start talking about food aid if this goes on for 3 or 4 weeks, because there are people who run out of money. We're going to have a huge surge of need for our hospitals. There are going to be some very sick people. We don't want to have people who are mildly ill and afraid clogging the emergency room. So we got to think about how we mobilize the primary care system and all those rapid clinics to be ready to help people and communicate to them about the fact that they're probably not going to get too sick from this virus and what they should do.
And we haven't really seen a lot of this in the past. I understand that some regulations around quarantines and the like changed after the 2014 Ebola outbreak. But are there lessons that we could learn from things that we have seen in the past as it relates to public health outbreaks?
Well, we're going back to the Spanish flu. That's the closest analogy to what we have today. You know, we saw massive disruption to daily life and people essentially hiding out in their homes, you know, the economy grinding to a halt, huge demand on healthcare systems. That's where we should look. And that's why I say our big issue now is going to be at least getting ready. Maybe we'll be lucky and this won't spread that rapidly. We'll get a vaccine. But right now, the imperative is to prepare to make sure that we have an effective response that's also not putting a huge burden on the poorest people among us.
Do you think the United States could ever legally take drastic measures like the ones that we've already seen in China, where the government locks down entire cities and essentially prevents millions of people from moving around?
Well, again, the government has and has always had in public health, extreme emergency powers. It's just like imagining, you know, if you have a hurricane or a flood and people are ordered to leave, you know, a whole part of the state. Sure, they can do it, you know, if it's necessary. But where courts step in and have always stepped in for the last 100 years or so in public health law is when you have something that's driven by politics or public fear that isn't going to do any good. You know, China shut down lots and lots of places. It didn't stop the spread. Pretty much when you start thinking about shutting down California, it's already in Nevada. And when you try and shut down Nevada, it's moved on to North Dakota and so on. It's just not an effective measure. And I think in that case, when you start to see the kinds of disruptions and harm it would cause, courts might step in. Remember, if you're not shipping food, if you're not shipping parts for manufacturing and all that sort of stuff, then you start to have the economy grind to a halt. And that's dangerous to health, too.
That's Scott Burris, professor and director of the Center for Public Health Law Research at Temple University's Beasley School of Law, giving us lots to think about. Professor, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.